Amen. Isn't that a beautiful hymn? I pray that that would characterize our life together as a church. We're going to open the Word of God for just a moment. This is not a sermon, be warned. As Sherry called it this morning in Sunday school, it's a sermonette. If I go too long, you'll sing again because you'll sing me down. But I do want us to just look to the Scriptures for just a moment. So if you have your Bible, turn with me. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 22. Just for a few moments. And as you're turning there, in Psalm 116 in verse 12, the psalmist asks the worshiper's question. He asks, "What shall I render to the Lord for all His benefits to me?" The answer to that, I think on an individual basis, is in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. That tells us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, to not be conformed to this world. And it also tells us to lay down our lives, in light of the mercies of God, to lay down our lives as living sacrifices. This is our reasonable worship. I think that's the answer to that question on an individual basis. But what about collectively? What about when we come together as a church? I think the answer is right here in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 22. Listen to what the Word of God says. "Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." You notice here in this familiar passage of Scripture, the writer is compelling us to consider something, to think something through in the context of our life together as God's people. And we are to consider how to stir each other up, how to motivate one another, how to encourage one another, how to stir each other up to love and to good works. The church should be an ecosystem of encouragement. How then do we encourage one another in the gospel? How do we keep one another pressing onward in the midst of trials and troubles and temptations? How do we do this together as a church family? There's many answers to that, but one answer is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, what we've done tonight. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly," now listen, "teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." You know, one of the chief ways that we encourage each other in Christ, one of the chief ways that we stir each other up to love and good works, is that we sing together. It really is that simple. There's more that we do, but there's not less. Even what we've done tonight and what we do Lord's Day after Lord's Day, as we join together in songs of praise and singing God's truth back to Him in worship, that not only has a vertical effect as we lift our praise to God, but it has a horizontal effect in that it encourages our church family. Through the hymns that we sing, we teach one another the truth about who God is. We teach one another and remind one another of the glorious good news of the gospel and what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, has done for us. Through what we sing, we not only encourage one another, but we witness to the world. We witness. Have you thought about this? Our singing is a witness to those who listen to our services on the radio, those who tune in and watch on live stream, those who are new to our church, those who are here with us and are amazed at what we're doing because they don't know this God that we sing about. All of that is happening as we sing. It seems profoundly simple, and maybe it is, but it is through the Word of God and the power of the Spirit extremely powerful. This is what God's people have always done. God's people are a singing people. God puts a song of praise in our mouths. I just want to encourage you. Think about how and why you sing. Think about the example that you're setting if you don't sing when you're gathered with God's people. Think about not only the adults in this room, but I want to encourage you for a moment to think about the itty-bitty image bearers of God who are looking up and wondering why this man, this woman in my pew is singing with a big smile to the top of his or her lungs, or why they're not singing at all. Singing is at the very heart of a healthy church. This is not only a privilege that we have in Christ, it's a duty. Can you imagine what a Sunday would be like if we come in and at 11 o'clock we have a few announcements, a time of prayer, the sermon, and then we close in prayer and go home? Something just wouldn't be right, would it? We're meant to sing. What else can we do together as God's people like this? Should we meditate on the Word? Absolutely. But if all of us sit here tonight and just meditated on the truth that we've sung about, that would be a wonderful, wonderful spiritual discipline to do. But I believe we could hear a pin drop, even on the carpet. Or if we said and tried to memorize the words of these songs that we've sung, a wonderful thing to do. Or memorize the scripture that lays the foundation to them, a wonderful spiritual discipline. But what about when we get together? How can we keep our mouths closed? How could we not sing in light of who God is and all that He's done for us in Christ? So not just on these hymn sings, but each time we gather together as a church, let me encourage you, don't rush in. Don't come unprepared. Worship begins on Saturday night, doesn't it? It begins not just with preparing our lips when we hear the hymn number called out and see the words on the screen. It begins with preparing our hearts long before we come to this place to sing to the Lord out of the overflow of a heart that knows Him, a heart that's informed by His truth and His Word, heart that's ready to give Him all the glory, honor, and praise. That's what we're going to do as we prepare to close our time tonight. We're going to sing Living for Jesus, because that's what we want to do every single day of our lives. We want to live for Him. We want to live in light of who He is, in light of what He's done for us, just as we've sung about tonight. And we're going to do this somewhat as an invitation, because I want to invite you during this final hymn, if there's something on your heart that you want to take to the Lord, certainly you can do that right where you are. But this altar is open. It's been a wonderful service together. If you feel the need at the end of it to come and pray at this altar, please do that. If you'd like someone to take you by the hand and pray with you, please come forward. I'll be standing up front. There are others. Please, whatever the Lord's laid on your heart, don't be hindered. You respond as He leads. Let's sing Living for Jesus.